Welcome to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong, and the pleasure, as always, of being here with Bill Alexander. Bill, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Life is good.
That's what I like to hear, Bill. That's what I like to hear.
I can't say cool. It's not suffering through blistering weather, but it's actually been nice to get some rain. And you know, we had such a dry spell. I didn't know if we'd ever get rain, but it has been nice to get a little bit here and there. So life is good.
Good. Many a garden have been suffering. So yes, we're thankful for the rain, and we're thankful for another program here because we're going to cover a lot of ground today, Bill.
Well, I hope so. What I want to start with today has to do with reviewing legal documents. Folks come in all the time and ask, and some oftentimes they know, you know, we have old documents. We know they need to be reviewed. We know we need to have our documents updated. Sometimes it's a will-based plan. Sometimes it's a trust-based plan. But the fact is that having your legal documents reviewed from time to time is really important for folks to do that. Oftentimes people don't realize that laws have changed. Oftentimes their circumstances have changed, either within the family or their financial circumstances have changed significantly, more often than not for the better, but sometimes for the worse. Oftentimes long-term care issues can crawl into the picture, and that can certainly reduce someone's net worth and become a big issue. So there are lots and lots of reasons why legal documents should, in fact, be reviewed. Now, it's very common for folks when they move to North Carolina, you know, they've moved here from Maryland or New York or New Jersey or Florida or any place for that matter, and they know when one moves from one state to another, that it is important to have their legal documents reviewed. But even if you've been in North Carolina your entire lifetime, if you had your documents done, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, whenever, do you know what the average is in terms of folks actually having their documents looked at? How many years from one to the next for most people? Do you know what that average is?
I may be cheating here, Bill, but is it about 20 years?
You're exactly right. Your memory must be good. Let's put it that way, because that surprises a lot of folks. But it's not unusual at all because, the fact is legal documents are not a top priority for anybody if you get right down to it. I mean, most of the time it's the wives dragging their husbands in saying, we got to do this. that's the typical situation. But truthfully, even if you had your documents done, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, you probably don't have what's called a digital release. And you know, when I talk about that to clients, they look at me kind of funny, and you know, it's like, what is that, and what's it? You know, why do we need it? What is it used for? Well, it's fairly new because the digital age is fairly new, particularly for old timers like me. But the fact is that most of us, almost everyone, not everybody, there's still a few holders on out there that only get paper statements from their bank and their investment advisor. But the fact is that almost all of us now get our information online. We get the banks don't want to send us paper statements. Our investment advisors don't want to send us paper statements. So we have to go online to get that information. Well, that's what digital access is when you go online. And of course, we talk about digital security and how important that is. But the fact is, and I can go on a whole bunch about digital security in terms of my own IT people and what they force us to do here. We at a minimum, we have to have a username and a password. And lots families, particularly as we get older, count on our children or grandchildren to help us through digital access and to be able to pay our bills timely and those kinds of things. Well, in essence, that's not a proper thing to do unless you have what we call a digital release. It's, you know, the North Carolina legislature passed a law that gave us the opportunity to sign a document that would give someone else, our trusted agent, the ability to properly use our username and password to go online and do business with the bank or our investment advisor or even other digital things like Facebook and, you know, any place that people store digital information. And so, yeah, that's a pretty important thing. So it's one of the documents that we make sure that all of our clients have. The reason that the legislature got involved is that institutions we're talking 5 or 6 years ago, would not allow even an official to access digital information, digital records, bank records, and things like that, even if they had a power of attorney to do so, or even if they were appointed a guardian under a court order, or were appointed as a trustee or an executor of an estate. So there was a period of a couple years where things were a mess because they were expected things to be digital, but the institutions were not allowing other people with legal authority to access things digitally until the legislature got involved and allowed us to create what we call a digital release. So yeah, that's an important document that folks need to know about. But the fact is that the laws, not just for digital, but everything has changed completely in the last 30 years. So I've had lots and lots of folks who have come in and they had their documents done in the 1990s. That was back when the estate tax exemption was $600,000. And it was also at a time where spouses might, even a surviving spouse might have to pay death tax. Now, back then, any estate planner worth their salt was doing what we call credit shelter trust planning, or AB trust. It's called different things. Now most folks talk about family trusts and marital trusts, but it's in essence the same kind of thing. But everybody needed a trust because even most middle-class families had a death tax problem that could be at least solved or soothed a little bit by some good estate planning. Well, right now the estate tax exemption, this is federal law, is $13,620,000. So most of my good friends have no problem with estate tax issues. And North Carolina doesn't have an inheritance tax anymore. We don't have an estate tax. So, it's the federal tax. Now, here again, the laws keep changing. Next year, our estate tax exemption will be about $14 million. And the year after that, it's going to drop down in a big, big way to $6.95 million or thereabouts. Now, most of us don't have a problem at $6.95 million either, but the fact is that there are a lot of folks that their estate has grown significantly over the last 20 years, and they either do have an estate tax problem now, or they could because their estates have grown significantly. But the point is that these exemptions are changing, and even the income tax rates are changing. So there are lots and lots of different reasons why people really need to have their estates reviewed. And there are lots of other reasons that I want to go into as we get farther along in our show.
Well, we will get to those, and I'll revisit what you said earlier, that the average is 20 years between having your documents reviewed, and that's just the average. So you think of how many people go longer than that, and you don't want to find yourself on that end of the spectrum. We just mentioned the importance of the digital release. If that's something that you don't have in your legal documents, you could be setting yourself up for some trouble. So if you would like to get a hold of an elder law attorney, have your documents reviewed, or maybe create some documents, maybe you've never had them drawn up before, speak with an elder law attorney. You can go to wgalaw.com, schedule some time to speak with an expert. You can find information there as well about the WG Alexander & Associates free webinars. Those are done the second Wednesday of every month. We just had a set of webinars this past Wednesday. The next set of webinars is happening on Wednesday, August 14th. There are two webinars happening that day. The morning session will cover long-term care assistance. This is critical information for families who may be dealing with a long-term care crisis. This has information about financial assistance for those who are dealing with a long-term care crisis. This covers Medicaid, VA benefits. It's very, very beneficial information for anyone who may be dealing with the issues of long-term care. The afternoon session will cover asset protection and trust planning. These are free to attend. There's absolutely no cost associated with these. All you have to do is register in advance to attend. Go to wgalaw.com, click on the seminars button at the top of the page. Or you can also call the office. Phone number is 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be back with more. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Learn more about WG Alexander & Associates by going to wgalaw.com, wgalaw.com, a great way to find information about their free webinars. And Bill, I want to ask you, the webinars just happened this past Wednesday. I know you love your webinars. Did everything, I'm assuming, went off without a hitch?
Of course they did. And you know how much I enjoy teaching where we can, in terms of we want to give folks as much information as they can possibly absorb when it comes to long-term care and Medicaid and special assistance and VA benefits. That's certainly one area. And of course, there's an awful lot of interest in should I have a trust, or I really want asset protection. I want to be able to protect my estate for my spouse and my children. You know, can we do that? And of course, the answer is yes, we can do that. And that's a big part of our law practice. And so I enjoy teaching folks as much as we possibly can. And the webinars are structured to be an hour and a half. And quite frankly, it's rare when I get done in less than 2 hours. So we do the best we can, but we have a lot of fun trying to educate folks on these kinds of things. And of course, this radio show gives us an opportunity to try to impart a few jewels of wisdom each week as well. But you know, when it comes to reviewing estate plans, a lot of folks had their documents done in a period of time when the estate tax exemption was relatively low. And by relatively low, I mean it might have been $600,000 or $675,000 or even $1 million or $2 million, okay? And so back then, estate planners pretty much forced everyone into the credit shelter trust, AB trust planning, to avoid estate tax. I mean, it was a no-brainer for so many people back then. And so there are lots and lots of folks who had these plans done that require an irrevocable trust at the first death, when the first spouse dies. Now, an awful lot of these folks have a nice estate, a really nice estate. It might be $2, $3, $4 million. And guess what? They don't need that AB trust plan anymore. And they have a traditional family and they want to keep things as simple as possible, particularly for their spouse. Now, today, you can do what I call a sweetheart plan for a lot of these folks with a really nice estate, but they're not anywhere close to a taxable estate. And so what I'm getting at is if a married couple, has a really nice estate, but they know that there is no chance that their estate together is going to approach $6.95 million, do they need this complicated, irrevocable trust at the first death to do what everybody wants? Pay no tax. Okay. So the fact is that oftentimes reviewing your documents can result in a simpler plan. And that, for a lot of folks, can be very beneficial. Now, we also oftentimes, in fact, more times than not, with these kinds of plans, end up doing asset protection for the children. And that's a very common plan for us, where we can create a trust that's very easy to administer, but gives an awful lot of asset protection for our children. You know, one thing that almost all of us worry about as parents is that our children can end up in a marriage that ends up in divorce. And we don't want what we leave our children to be divided with an ex-spouse. We keep our fingers crossed. We pray that our children have a good marriage. But the fact is, we all know that the divorce rate is too high. And there are things we can do to protect our own children from that, because we can create a trust. And if they're lucky enough to have a wonderful marriage throughout their lifetime, then the trust is still a wonderful thing. And we can use it for not only for our children, but for our grandchildren as well. So there are a lot of advantages to that. But the point that I'm really trying to make is that sometimes instead of making a plan more complicated, reviewing a plan can take a complicated estate and make it simple, because you don't need the complications anymore. And sometimes that, to me, is just as important or more important than the crazy stuff that we can recommend.
Well, it's a matter of making sure that you have a good understanding of what you have and what you actually need. So a lot can change in the span of 20 years, even 10 or 5 years. Life changes can happen. So making sure that your documents are meeting your needs is a critical thing to do. Also, if you've never had your documents reviewed by an elder law attorney, I highly suggest that you do so. You can get a hold of the team at WG Alexander & Associates by going to wgalaw.com. Schedule some time to speak with a professional. You can also find information about the free webinars, which we discussed earlier. Just click on the seminars button at wgalaw.com. It's free to do so. Just register in advance by clicking on the seminars button at wgalaw.com. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is where you can find information about WG Alexander & Associates, their free webinars, also scheduling some time to speak with an elder law attorney. You can do it all at WGALaw.com. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, we're talking all about the importance of reviewing our legal documents.
Well, that, no question about it. Another thing that happens all the time is that we did our documents back when our children were young, and now they've grown up. They're, you know, luckily they're mature, and we can count on them. But they're not in our documents in the way that they need to be. It may be that we have appointed our parents or a sibling to be our agent or our trustee for our young children, you know, those kinds of things, when the fact is now we can rely on our spouse and our children, and we don't have to rely on our parents or our siblings who may be too old for the job at this point. So that's another very, very common thing where we've appointed people that are no longer appropriate to be our go-to person anymore. So, you know, that another reason, to look at documents. Well, it's also common that people move to North Carolina and they come with out-of-state documents. And sometimes those out-of-state documents work just fine, but oftentimes they don't meet the criteria to be valid documents in North Carolina. And that either means they cannot be used or there's a delay in those documents being used. And that's even considering what is called the full faith and credit of laws between and among the states. So now, with that said, that's supposed to mean that a document that is validly done in one state should be valid in another state. But there are lots of exceptions to that rule. And one would be if a document has anything to do with real estate, then the full faith and credit does not apply. I've had a number of cases over the years with wills that were done in the state of Maryland, for instance, and you would think, for somebody who lived in Maryland, but they owned real estate in North Carolina, and guess what? their Maryland will could not be probated in North Carolina. So the real estate had to go by what's called intestate succession. In other words, the law of the of North Carolina when someone does not have a valid last will and testament. And guess what? In the cases we've done, intestate succession was nothing like what was in the person's will. So those are the kind of things that can happen. Now, I will say that oftentimes a general durable power of attorney can be, from out of state, can be used in North Carolina. Sometimes a healthcare power of attorney can be, and sometimes it cannot be, because, you know, North Carolina requires for healthcare that you have two independent people as witnesses, and by independent I mean they can't be family and they can't work as a healthcare worker for you. They can't be hospital people or the nursing home people. They basically have to be independent of that, plus a notary. And not all states have that strict of a requirement. So it's like if it doesn't have the magic language, then it may not work in North Carolina. So another document that some folks don't have, because a lot of don't realize that the federal law requires that you have a separate document as a medical release for HIPAA compliance. HIPAA is a federal law. And it has to do with who has access to your private healthcare information. So having a separate document is important. And a lot of attorneys, because it was federal law and not state law, didn't know to do it. It's been on the books as a requirement since 2003. But I've had lots and lots of folks who've had estate planning documents done even as late as 2015, and they didn't have a medical release for HIPAA compliance. I mean, so those, again, there are, again, change of laws. You got to understand that things can make a difference. So obviously for anyone who has moved to North Carolina from out of state, they may need to review their documents simply because the laws have changed, and it would be a good idea anyway. But oftentimes it's helpful. And even if a document can be used in North Carolina, an out-of-state document, it will always slow it down. We have to send this to our legal department to make sure that it's valid or that we can acknowledge it. You know, those are the kind of things that people run into with out-of-state documents. Now, if you've done your documents in North Carolina and they're fairly current documents and you feel good about them, and you move anywhere else in North Carolina, you don't have to worry about your documents in that sense. Because even if we did your documents in Wake County and you move down to Brunswick County, to the beach, or up to Buncombe County in the mountains, your documents are going to be just as good there as they are here in Wake County. So that is not an issue. But if you move from North Carolina to any other state, you should, in fact, have your documents reviewed by hopefully an elder law attorney, or at least an estate planning attorney, in the state in which you have moved, because it's always, always best case to have a valid last will and testament in the state in which you reside. I have a case going right now where I had a family who lived in Brunswick County. They were good clients of ours, and they moved to Florida. And they never had their documents redone. Well, my documents actually are good documents in Florida. However, one of the things that sort of threw us for a loop is the spouse died, the wife died, and she owned the house in Florida, and her will said that the house would go into a supplemental needs trust for her husband. But Florida has a wacky law down there that basically, where if you have a surviving spouse, a disposition in your will for the primary residence doesn't count. They have a different law that will apply, which is unfortunate because it would really be in the best interest if that house went into the supplemental needs trust. But if they had had that reviewed in Florida, then they would not have had that issue arise, because it was only because they didn't have it reviewed. And they moved like 5 years ago, so it's not like they didn't have time to have that done. So it just makes a big difference. And of course, if you move out of the country, because there are more and more folks, for whatever reason, that are moving internationally, then folks need to know that there are some countries where trusts are not recognized, and that could be an issue. Folks who move overseas need to understand that Medicare doesn't pay overseas. So there are a lot of issues that, while I can understand why folks do move out of the country to certain places anyway, they need to understand that the laws are going to be very different.
That's great advice. And for those listening who may be relatively new to the state, or maybe you just haven't had your documents reviewed since you came to North Carolina, well, I think that was reason enough for you to want to schedule some time to have those documents reviewed by a professional in North Carolina. If you want to get a hold of some elder law attorneys, I highly recommend you call the team at WG Alexander & Associates. You can call the office. The phone number is 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000, or you can go online to WGALaw.com, WGALaw.com. From there, you can schedule some time to speak with a professional. You can also find information about their free webinars by clicking on the seminars button at WGALaw.com. Learn more about asset protection and trust planning, as well as long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, forms of financial assistance for those dealing with a long-term care crisis. Both webinars are free to attend. There's no cost associated with these. It's just a wonderful educational segment that you get with the wonderful folks here at WG Alexander & Associates. Go to WGALaw.com to learn more. Quick break and back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. You can go to WGALaw.com to find information about their free webinars put on by WG Alexander & Associates. Learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits. Learn as well about asset protection and trust planning through their free webinars. It's free to register, free to attend. Go to WGALaw.com. Click on the seminars button to learn more. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. Bill, we've been talking throughout the show about the importance of having our legal documents reviewed. So often we go through life sort of ignore either not having these documents or waiting way too long to have them reviewed. We've covered a lot of ground here, but I know we've still got more to go.
Well, the next thing I want to do is go and talk to my military folks. Because the fact is that particularly in North Carolina, where we have a number of military bases and posts, folks go to the military judge advocate office, the JAG office, in order to have estate planning documents done and prepared for them. And obviously our soldiers and sailors and airmen and women who our young folks who are deployed go through a line and receive estate planning document so that they can have a last will and testament and a powers of attorney prepared for them. And I want folks to understand that I am very familiar with these documents that are proffered to these folks, because I'm a retired Air Force senior judge advocate, and I can tell you that these documents are not designed for most seniors. They are designed for young soldiers and airmen and sailors, young folks. And they're boilerplate because, truthfully, most young people, and of course, I mean, how many soldiers and sailors do you know that are wealthy? So the fact is that these folks are folks that have very little. You know, they might be married. They may own a home with their spouse and have children and the like. But the fact is that the estate planning documents that the military provides are boilerplate documents that are not appropriate for most seniors. In fact, I didn't even like giving these documents. Now, see, the other thing that folks don't realize is the fact that military judge advocates get zero training in estate planning. It's not a big issue for the military. You know, the judge advocates go through a good bit of training, but it doesn't have to do with estate planning. And so the estate planning documents are done through a computer-based program that is totally boilerplate. And I wouldn't give these documents to anybody as far as I'm concerned, but yes, they suffice for a young soldier who's being deployed and expects to be back in a year or two. But particularly if they need to give a power of attorney to their parents or to their wife or a husband or the like. But would I want to have those documents 20 years later? Would they be any good 20 years later? And I mean, even the general durable power of attorney, this will blow your mind. It generally expires 1 year after you sign it. So, I mean, those are the kinds of things that, I mean, as a planner who cares about plans, it upsets me that this is the kind of legal advice people get, because in the judge advocate office, they generally assign the youngest, least experienced judge advocate to assist seniors when they come into the office to have their free estate planning documents done. A lot of folks use the office because it's free, and they figure they're going to get good documents that are valid and will work. And yes, they'll be valid, but whether they're what you need or not, and it's not like these young judge advocates have any experience with any complex estate planning need. And so, if you have the simplest of needs, sure, maybe they'll work. But the 99% of the folks, particularly for seniors, should not be using those documents. You're not going to get any kind of plan with any kind of any kind of tax planning or remarriage planning or trusts or retirement planning at all. I mean, and quite frankly, the young judge advocates that you meet with, they don't have a clue about any of the issues that are actually important to families as their kids grow up and they're trying to protect their estate and the like. So the bottom line is folks need to be really careful. I can't even think of a case where I wouldn't totally redo documents that are done on a military reservation. So, I'm not down on military lawyers. Military lawyers are wonderful. It's just that this is not an area of expertise at all for folks. And why would you want to go to somebody who doesn't know what they're doing? I mean, you just don't want to do that. All right, there is another issue that a lot of folks don't realize. For veterans, particularly those who use the VA medical system, a lot of folks don't realize that the VA does not generally recognize or allow you to use a healthcare power of attorney that is not a VA form. In other words, if I prepare a North Carolina healthcare power of attorney, the VA will not accept it. So it's really important to have a North Carolina healthcare power of attorney. But if you're a veteran who also uses the VA system or uses the VA system exclusively, either way, you need to have a VA healthcare power of attorney. And the VA healthcare power of attorney also inside it includes an advance directive for natural death, or what's called a living will. In other words, it's two documents in one, similar to the way North Carolina documents used to be done. In fact, some lawyers are still using the old documents where they're combined. But the fact is that if you're a veteran using the VA medical system, you need to have a VA healthcare power of attorney.
Having a second set of eyes on your documents is something that is not going to hurt you. It's always good to have those reviewed. And if you would like to have an elder law attorney review your documents, go to wgalaw.com. Schedule some time to speak with someone on the team at WG Alexander & Associates. Learn more as well about their free webinars at wgalaw.com. Just click on the seminars button at the top of the page to learn about their free webinars covering long-term care assistance as well as asset protection and trust planning. We're taking a short break, but we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. Listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Go to wgalaw.com to schedule some time with the team at WG Alexander & Associates. You know, if there's one takeaway from the show today, it's get your documents reviewed. Make sure that you have an elder law attorney review those, especially if you've been putting this off for years or even decades. We won't judge you. We just want to make sure that your plans are in order. Don't forget to sign up for the August webinars. If you haven't done that already, you can go to wgalaw.com. Click on the seminars button at the top of the page to learn more about long-term care assistance as well as asset protection and trust planning. Hope to see you there. That's going to do it for us this week. We hope you will join us again next weekend. You've been listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Have a wonderful day.